Stephanie Laska. Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Keto Podcast. I lost 140 pounds by continuing to enjoy my favorite light beer, tortillas, and chocolate. I believe you can have your sugar-free cake and eat it too. You don't have to be perfect on the keto diet to be successful at losing weight. Your journey on Dirty Lazy Keto, it starts today. Is the keto diet a lifestyle or just a way to lose weight? Well, today's guest is going to help us answer this question. I would like to welcome to the show my new friend, Ricky, who has lost an amazing amount of weight with Dirty Lazy Keto. So welcome to the show, Ricky.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here today. And I love your hair color for all of our watchers on YouTube. They get a sneak peek at how adorable you are. Have you always had that hair color? I just have to ask. I'm having hair envy right now. Has it always been that adorable?
Naturally, but yes, I go back to red as often as possible. Sometimes I'll take a break because you can't get a good natural red. So every now and then I'll kind of go back to my natural color, but never really. And then I'll go back to some shade of red. Yeah. I call this my Phoenix from X-Men red. So
I like it. Well, I can already tell it fits your personality because I can see it in your smile and in your attitude. Because Ricky, I feel like you are just an amazing inspiration for all of our people listening and watching. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how much you weigh, how much you've lost, how old you are, how tall you are. Like, tell us all those statistics. Let's get that out of the way.
So I am 43 years old. I am about 5'5", if I tell the truth. And my current weight as of yesterday is 207. When I started Dirty Lazy Keto, I was 249.9 because to me, those points actually help you feel a little bit better. And I started in February. For me, it's a lifestyle. It's not a diet. It's not a fad. It's just a new way of living for me. So that's the best thing is I don't look at it as a diet. I had to change my way of eating for my own health. And the weight loss was a plus, which was needed, but it was really more of a guideline. And then you just like became my best friend through the initial books. I was like, this chick is talking straight to me. So that's really how it is for me.
Ricky, you're killing me already. you're my new best friend too. Well, you know what struck me about you posted this in the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook group. This was your before and after, right? This one here?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes. Just checking. And what struck me about the post, what you shared was exactly what you just said about, you know, yes, you were excited about fitting in this adorable dress, but you were so excited that this had become a lifestyle for you. And for me, that's why I reached out to you. I'm like, Ricky gets it. She's talking about this being a lifestyle. It's not just like how cute she is in this dress, which come on, you are adorable. Let's be real. but I felt like you were really saying, this is it. Like, this is my lifestyle, right? I mean, tell me more about that. And you can tell me about the dress. We want to hear about the dress too.
So my mom likes to go thrifting. And about 2 years ago, we went thrifting. I have always been like a closet hippie, really. And I saw the dress hanging on the rack and I was like, oh my God, I love that. I'll never fit in it. There was no tag. I think at some point in life, it was probably handmade by someone. And she was like, you're not going to fit that, honey. Because at that time I was about 285. And my highest weight ever was 310. And so I was like, I don't care if one day I'll fit in it, I'm going to buy it. It hung in the back of my closet. I would put it on. I would see rolls. I would see this. I would see that. I tried this diet, that diet, this way, that way, you know, this pill, that pill, everything. And it never worked. And I started having some health issues. And that my doctor kept telling me was related to the way that I ate. And I'm like, yeah, but I can't just go in and cut this out and cut this out. It makes me miserable. And then I wind up going back and eating three times as many pieces of bread or brownies or this or that, then whatever. And I just happened to be in the local Walmart one day and I ran across your book. I had heard keto, because of health problems. I can't eat strict keto because it causes other issues with my body. And so I was like, you know what? Let me read I mean, I'm in the Walmart. It's okay. I'll just read a chapter while I'm standing here. And I did. I read like the first five pages. And I was like, I don't have to read anymore. This is going in my, if nothing else, the way this lady talks about looking at food differently will help me like understand. And so initially I used your book as like a, this woman gets the fact that I have to have carbs in my life or I am a cranky lady. And she's like telling me it's okay to feel that way. And it's okay, but it's not okay, you know? And so I read the whole book and I made a promise to myself, I'm going to read the whole book before I dive into trying to eat this way. And so I read the whole book and I actually had forgotten about said cute dress being in the back of my closet. And I just read the book and I said, okay, so I'm going to do this a slow, progressive way. My biggest problem is I am terribly addicted to sugar. Like I was a 4 tablespoon. I like a little bit of coffee with a sugar and creamer in the mornings too. That was my first step. I took a week and a half, cut out my sugar and my coffee in the mornings, used a little bit of creamer. Then the next week I went down to sugar-free creamer. And instead of like jumping whole hog, which I think is what a lot of people do, is like, I'm going to cut out everything. I'm going to do, you know, I took things away from myself slowly. I never was a big soda drinker, but I still drink. When I drink soda, I drink a lot of it, but it wasn't an everyday thing for me. So it's like, okay, there's zero sugar this, there's zero sugar that, there's none of this. Diet tastes nasty, but we'll try the zero sugar. So, you know, I just kind of progressive. The picture, which I had to use as my before picture, on my post was actually from March at my birthday, which was 6 weeks into it. Which was 6 weeks into it. And my daughter had done everything she could to give me a sugar-free birthday, having my cake specially made and all that stuff. And I had already lost about 15 pounds there and then just kind of plateaued. And so to like fast forward on over to the pretty cute dress, my bonus daughter was getting married. I didn't have anything to wear. I didn't want to go spend a whole lot of money because I had found I enjoyed losing weight, getting healthier. I didn't want to have a dress that's probably never going to buy again. So I go rummaging through the closet and I'm like, it's going to fit today. It's going to fit today. And I threw it on and it was actually a little bit too big. And I was like, whoa, I totally skipped the whole, like, it fits feltly. It's a little too big. So we had to do a little tuck in and tape in with the body tape, the double-sided tape to get it to sit like it should. And, you know, when people ask me about it, I tell them, you know, this is what I did, but it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. It's a whole commitment to feeling better, to being better. Totally recommend buying the cookbooks. It makes it a whole lot easier than sitting here guessing about how to cook. But, you know, it's little bits at a time. And then you just realize that you don't want the sugar. You don't want the carbs. And even because I read a lot on our Facebook page. I mean, I try and get in there and support people. I'm not a big like individual myself poster, but I try and support people and I try and post in there. And like, instead of jumping whole hog, do little bits at a time. And it's okay to have a cheat day every now and then, if that's what you feel, because depriving yourself makes the lifestyle harder. That's what turns the lifestyle into a diet, in my opinion. So if I want to have a basket of fries, you know, I order the basket of fries and I eat 5 or 6 fries. And my puppies really like it when mama gets extra fries because they get them. Because I found after a few bites, I really don't enjoy it like I used to, because it's just not part of what I put in my body anymore. So
I love how you made it a choice for yourself. You're like, I can have whatever I want and I'm going to choose to have a couple of fries, or I'm going to choose to have, you know, creamer and less sugar in my coffee and then substitute when I please. But you really took control of your eating. And that's, I think that connects with people. It's like, you didn't try to do it all at once. You did it your way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I mean,
you give us permission. It's like, that's why I say it's almost like reading your book. And I'll go back and read parts. Like sometimes when I get depressed, I have parts marked in my book. It's like, okay, Stephanie says, you know, and I'm not like trying to be a butt kisser. I'm not, but it's really the way that you speak to us in your books and in your podcasts and things like that. It's like, you say it's okay. Like, it's okay to be this way. You can't cut it out all at once. And so sometimes when I get kind of down and I want to have like we all have that. Like, everybody has stress days, and we didn't get to be larger people by eating healthy. A lot of what I have found in life is people got to be larger weights because we're comfort eaters. Just find a different way to comfort. I mean, you know, find a different comfort food. My favorite comfort food now is almonds because they crunch hard and I can chew them very rapidly and I can get my frustration out. I don't need 5 or 6 brownies.
Right. Well, I love how you said you're finding like alternatives to like maybe some old favorites and also comfort food. Because I saw that you had shared some pictures of, it looks like you had made the copycat chicken and chaffles recipe from the 5-ingredient cookbook. Yes. I saw that you posted that and you were like, look, everybody, I make fried chicken. People could not believe it. They're like, that's not fried chicken. Are you serious? And you're like, yeah, it's keto friendly. It's from Stephanie's book. And you were so excited. I loved that passion.
Yes.
Have you found
that? And it was so easy. I was always, yes, it actually really is. Then the flour and the this and that. But I'm Southern. I mean, I'm as Southern as they come. I Southern cook. I was raised a Southern cook. And it's like, how do I turn this around? How do I still get to eat all the things? And it's like, oh, look, there's a cookbook for that. There's a cookbook for that. You know, there's a recipe for that. And that's, you know, so getting in there and making the chicken and chaffles, I was like, man, this takes like half as long. It's nowhere near the mess. And I mean, you really can't, let's be real, you can't eat flour along the way while you're doing fried chicken, but you can eat crushed up pork rinds. Just say, ma'am. You know, you got a little bit of nibble while you're going along. Well,
not just that. I mean, I saw that you posted jambalaya too, and you're talking about that. It sounds like you're Southern. Is that part of a dish you make a lot, a jambalaya?
We do. My daughter has her own spin on jambalaya. I have my own spin on jambalaya. And the post that I actually posted talking about my jambalaya, my daughter had done that for me because I was terrified to try it with the cauliflower rice. Now, I'd make cauliflower rice for, you know, chicken and gravy, or, you know, I've made it other ways, but sometimes with
messing,
you know,
with your jambalaya, that's serious, right?
Yeah. And she just got in there one day. I wasn't feeling well. And she pulled out the jambalaya recipe, went to the store, got everything. And I said, honey, you know, I can't have jambalaya. She said, oh, but this you can. It's cauliflower rice. And I was like, hot dog. And it was delicious. So it wasn't any different other than instead of grains of rice, it was cauliflower. And actually it tastes a whole lot better than all that heavy rice. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing you said, Ricky, which made me laugh because it sounded like me talking. I was like, oh, did I write that? And I'm like, no, that was Ricky. You wrote that you said, I eat twice what I did when I was heavier, but I eat better choices. Do you think that's true? Do you eat a lot of food? I do.
Yes.
So I was like, finally, someone's talking my language over here.
And it's, you know, I think for me, my meals were filled with pasta, potatoes, you know, the good Southern things. And I would only eat once a day because I was full and then I was miserable the rest of the day. Now I find that like snacking all day, I call it snacking because I don't ever sit down and eat.
Right, right.
But I do, I eat more, but I feel better. And I have more energy and I'm more fueled. And it's like, I think the mindset of when you're heavier is, well, the more I eat, the worse I feel, the heavier I am, the more I'm carrying around. And now it's like, but if you're hungry, eat a little bit, it's okay. Just eat a better choice. And so, you know, they know when at my local store, when I'm stocking up keto, because I've ate all my snacks, because I come through and I've got meat sticks and I've got cheese and I've got this and I've got that. And they're like, oh, we're out of keto food. And I'm like, yep, you know it. That's because they know. And then they see, I mean, because I live in a very small town here in South Carolina. So everybody at the grocery store knows us. And they're like, girl, you look so good. What are you doing? I said, DLK girl, let me tell you about it. And I tell them about it and I say, it's not hard. It's not like for me, dieting was always super expensive. Like in my mind, it was always super expensive. And, you know, when I read your book, it was like, you don't have to spend tons. I didn't spend tons. And I have realized that you really don't. Like, cauliflower doesn't cost any more than a bag of potatoes. And it goes a whole lot further. You know, chicken thighs don't cost any more than, you know, that whole chicken breast, and it's better for you. And, you know, things like that. And it just became a whole lot easier to stand in the grocery store and say, this is better. This is, you know, it feels better. It's funner to cook this stuff because I don't have the dread of I'm going to feel terrible after I eat all this. In my entire household, I'm the only one that is, it's weird to say this, strict DLK, because we're not strict and dirty, lazy keto, but I only eat that way. The rest of my household still eats normal, but when we have family dinner, they eat my food. They've been 100% supportive. And they all say, you know, I hate to say this, but I feel better. Well, yeah, don't we all? So
that's awesome. So it sounds like you've been able to make it work when you eat the same as everybody else in the family. And if they want some rice or potatoes, they can go ahead and make it themselves. But they really like the way you cook too, right?
Yeah.
They're not yep. feeling like there's anything weird about missing out on those or having chicken thighs instead of, you know, fried chicken strips or something like that. So it sounds like you've really made it work. And that's what I keep celebrating you and your story, Ricky, because, you know, and the other thing I liked that you said in the group was you were sharing about your target net carb range. And I think so many people get stuck. They're like, oh, I have to mm-hmm. do 20 grams or less, 20 or less. And you're like, no, I don't do 20 and I'm losing weight. Like, you discovered you could eat more than that, right? And still lose weight.
Yes. Yes. My general goal is to stay around 20. But there are some days of the week when I'm more active. You know, we call it errand day around here. I'm more active. I have housework. And, you know, I need to be more productive. I need more energy. You have to feed that. Now, that doesn't mean that you go out and eat 80 carbs a day. Obviously, that's not going to be productive. So, you know, I try and stay less than 50. Some days I eat 50. Some days I only eat 10, depending on what I want. I don't live my life around a number, and it has worked for me. It may not work like that for everybody else, but it works for me. Some days you need more. Some days you, like, I stress. Some days I'm like, I've had zero carbs today. I am so full. Where am I going to get my carbs from? Because everything has been so healthy, but I eat what I crave, you know, and sometimes the things I crave have no carbs in them. And I feel like that's okay. I mean, I'm eating healthy. My doctors say that, you know, I'm in the best health I've been in the last 5 years. So I'm not going to complain, you know, no. 20 carbs, 5 carbs, 50 carbs. It's okay.
Yeah. Big picture. You're doing what's making sense for you and your body, and you're healthy with your doctor. So you do you, Ricky. Yes, it's working.
That's right.
It's working. Now, I know that you've shared that you've had some challenges along the way. I know one time you were posting about having trouble getting enough protein. And that was a challenge for you. Was there something there that you could share with our listeners that maybe helped you?
So I didn't realize that I wasn't getting enough protein. So I wound up going to my doctor and telling, you know, like, being completely honest, he had noticed I had lost weight. I don't go to the doctor very often, but he had noticed I had lost weight. And I'm like, okay, so here's the problem. I ran into a situation where I'm not getting enough protein, but this is what I'm eating, and this is all protein based. And he said, we looked at it, and he said, you know, you've gone from being heavy most of your whole life to the stomach and colon issues that you have encountered. I think what is happening is that now that your body is healthier, you're processing that protein too fast, and you're not absorbing it the way that you should. And so what we did, and it was kind of hard for me mentally because there's, like, big protein numbers and sometimes kind of big carb numbers that I always kind of forget to go in and subtract that protein with it. And I was like, oh no, I can't drink these big protein shakes every day. So I dropped his suggestion, and it actually worked. And my protein is staying very level. Is that I do a big protein boost first thing in the morning. So instead of using a regular creamer in my coffee, that is, yes, it still has sugar in it sometimes, and that's okay. But because I needed the protein first thing in the morning, I just used the Premier protein shakes or whatever, like pumpkin spice season. I was like, I'm going to die without my pumpkin spice, but Premier protein gave us a pumpkin spice, worked absolutely great. So I have a little bit of coffee with a whole lot of protein shake every morning, and it seems to be working. And then I have a half a protein shake and a half a protein bar at night before I go to bed. I guess I could drink the whole thing and eat the whole protein bar, but it doesn't sit well in my stomach. And so I have a half protein shake, half protein bar before I go to bed. My body processes it through the night. I start my day with the big protein. And so far, thank the good Lord, I have had zero problems, because my overall protein level had dropped to like 3.2, which is kind of dangerous. Apparently I didn't know that. And so now I'm maintaining at a very healthy level of like 7.1 to 7.5, which is a target for him. And he says it works great. And as long as I keep it up, if we notice it going down, I have to add another protein shake during the day. So, you know, it seems to be working. So, you know, that's why I put that out there, because sometimes we get so focused. I read what a lot of our friends in the Facebook group talk about, you know, I'm so focused on this. And I shared that story just to say, you know, please make sure that, yes, it's exciting to drop the weight. Yes, it's exciting to feel better. But, you know, make sure it's not just your electrolytes you need to worry about. Like, make sure those protein levels are okay, because I was at a dangerous level and didn't even know it. And had I not had that generic blood work done, I wouldn't have known it and could have wound up very sick, because I was focused on everything else. So that's why I shared that with everybody, because sometimes we forget about things like that.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, it's easy to get so focused on like, oh, okay, I'm losing weight, and, you know, I like my, I don't know, cheese sticks or whatever, but forgetting about like one of the other things that we're supposed to eat, like having protein throughout the day, no matter what that looks like. It doesn't have to look the same to everybody. I think it's really brave and honest that right. You shared your struggles and that you involved your doctor in that conversation, because we all have different experiences, come from different backgrounds and health challenges, and being a partner with your doctor, even though it's scary, I don't like going to the doctor either, but involving them in the process too, and making sure that you're taking care of your nutrition needs as well as losing weight. Cause that's what, you know, like you said, is big picture, taking care of you. It's a mindset, not just about like the cute dress, even though it's cute. It's a process. Well, I know a lot of our listeners and viewers have questions for you. So I want to encourage them to write in the comments and give you a thumbs up of encouragement. But in closing, just want to ask you, Ricky, what like final advice would you give out? What did I not ask you today? Is there anything else you want to share with everybody? A tip? I don't know. I remember you saying something about fast food one time. Yeah, one time you talked about fast food,
right.
And I thought that was really good advice.
So in my life, we are very busy. I have a 20-year-old child. My spouse does road construction, so we never know what time she's going to get home from work. So sometimes fast food is literally like the only option. Nobody wants to eat cooked food 3 or 4 hours later. We're not a big leftovers house. So the first book that, besides the initial book that you wrote, that really, really helped me was the fast food. I call it fast food Bible. And it stayed in my car. And it's like, okay, we want Burger King. And okay, well, hold on. Let me flip through the book. You know, and if your lifestyle is very fast and very fast paced, and you don't have time to cook, or you don't enjoy cooking, which some people don't, I highly, highly recommend that book for everybody, because it helped me to learn how to eat through a fast food drive through. It wasn't just fast food. It taught me, like, even though some of the restaurants y'all listed in the book, we don't have around here, the same menu options are kind of everywhere. And it, you know, like, so if this is okay here, let me double check here. But it kind of taught me how to still go out to eat with my family, go out to eat with my friends, you know, and not feel guilty sitting there eating a dry chicken patty or a dry steak with no sides. I mean, literally, because yeah. in my
it
mind,
makes
that's
you feel
how
like,
eating
hey,
out was
it's okay.
before them.
It's okay.
Yeah. And so it really, that helped me the most when I first started, because that is our lifestyle. Yes, I love to cook. Yes, my child loves to cook. My wife is a former chef, but sometimes life just doesn't allow for that. you know, especially if you've got little ones that dance, play ball, or in sports, you run in on where you run in direct sales business, anything like that, like fast food is life. Drive-throughs are essential. You don't have to struggle and starve. And that book helped me. And I recommend that if you spend no other money other than the initial book, please get that book, because it helps you so much to not feel like a burden to your group of friends. That's because when I first started, I was like, well, I don't want everybody to feel like we have to go eat salads all the time.
Right.
You know, yeah. Why is Rookie eating rabbit food? Yeah. And so that really helped. That's a tip that I recommend. Everybody needs that book.
It's fun to fit in. You don't always want to be that person. Yes. That's like, oh, I want to have the special thing and the special that. So I love that you and your wife and your bonus child are able to use that. My husband will love hearing that, because he was instrumental in writing that. And I know he'll love hearing that feedback. And it is a free book if you have Kindle Unlimited on Amazon. A lot of people don't know that, but you can download it for free with Kindle Unlimited. But anyway, I just loved having you on the show today, Rookie. You are absolutely adorable. I love your spirit and
thank you.
All of your advice. And it's just real. And I think that's what connected me most with you, is you're a real person. You're honest. You're straightforward. Everything you're saying is just everyday things people can do. There's nothing special or fancy about losing weight. And I think that once we all wrap our head around that and we realize, hey, we can have fast food once in a while. You know, it's okay to have some peanut butter off the spoon. It's okay to, you know, figure this stuff out and make mistakes, or order French fries if that's what's going to be the thing that makes or breaks you. So I appreciate your honesty and your being here today. But it's a lifestyle. It's not a diet.
Thank you for having me.
Is what Rookie's telling us, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
well, no matter what obstacles everybody's facing out there, just listen to Rookie. You can lose weight with Dirty Lazy Keto. You don't have to feel deprived. You don't have to miss out. So I hope everybody gives her, Rookie, a thumbs up. Give her a big round of applause. Because transformation is possible, folks. And I know that if Rookie can do it, so can you. So thank you so much again for being on the show. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. Well, that about wraps it up, folks. Thanks so much for listening and for being part of the Dirty Lazy Keto community. I'm here to support you. I am here to help. Would you like to be notified when a new episode drops? Sign up for my free newsletter so we can keep in touch. Enter your email at dirtylazyketo.com and I'll just send you quick notifications when something new is going on. My newsletters are free, of course, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Did you enjoy today's podcast? Do me a favor, tell a friend. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the Dirty Lazy Keto podcast. I believe in you, my friend. I know you can do this. See you next week, keto superstars.